more people to believe. I mean, it's a simple fact. We need more and more people to believe. John was a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming, and by him coming, one becomes a child of God, born of God, and that's verse 12, John 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And there's no sweeter place. I don't know how many of you remember Sister Josepha. How many of you remember the story of the little sinner's chair? I can still see her. She would tell that story.
Not very many.
Not very many. But I'll tell you, Betty, Gail, this little sinner's chair is the coveted place to be. Because the little sinner's chair is right down there at the foot of the Father. And we do everything we can to get as far away from that as possible. You know, we try to deny everything that's wrong in our lives, and we try to cover it up with this, that, and the other thing. But it's obvious, it's so obvious to the Father, and he won't let us sit in that little chair until we have embraced that place. And we need to embrace it with our whole heart. We are all sinners.
That's right.
How many? Is there anybody in this room who believes that they are not a sinner?
Is you told anybody? Me this morning you were perfect.
That was before I got up. How many of you have seen the Garfield joke that says, everything has gone just fine for me today. I've had absolutely no problems at all. Nothing has gone wrong. And I'm just about to get up. It's about the only time everything is perfect. You're still under the covers. We have to really be, and my other question was, is there anybody in the room who believes that evil does not exist? Because if there is, I would really like to talk to you later today. Because there are a lot of people out there who believe we're all good, man was created to do good. He can go wrong sometimes, but he was really created to do good. This is the best lie the devil has put forward. We are all sinners, we are all capable of evil, and sometimes we are able to do something right and something good. That's the perspective. And the only time that happens is when the Lord is controlling us. And so really, we have to get this whole concept just in the right order so that we know where we are in it. You know, it's like playing a chess game and you don't know which side of the board you're sitting on. I mean, it's so obvious that we should go, yes, absolutely. But the devil is very cunning, and he has a way to slip in every single area of weakness in us that he sees, and we have to constantly be shining that light on him. Jesus, I was listening to a message the other day, and the man said, I think it was that Avi Schneider one, the Lord never heard the name Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach is who the Lord Jesus is. And we have to understand that in the Word, he came full of grace and truth. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Messiah. And he came filled with grace and truth so that we can get there. We have to get there. We have to be at the goal. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Grace is everything that the Lord gives us to make it happen within our own lives. Truth is everything that he is. And we have to make room in our lives to let that grace and truth flow. With no obstacle. John, baptizing with water, was that he might be revealed, he being the Lord Jesus, might be revealed to Israel. He came first. He came first because in every one of our lives, there has to be a stage where we are convicted of our sins. We are totally convinced that we're sinners.
Yes.
We repent. We receive forgiveness. We turn around and we put to death the old self. The old Adam in us has to be nailed to the cross, dead. The Jordan River is that water, and the Jordan River going through the Jordan is death to self. And we have to, I have to remind myself, because I'm a very competent, what do you call me, controlling, self-righteous person. And so I have to constantly, you know, it's unbelievable, and it comes up like that.
Yes.
You know, I find myself just telling this person, like, yeah. Lord, we have to really, and so it's a moment by moment thing, because these things, they jump on me. I don't know about you, but they see me coming, you know, and they just lurk, and the devil can generate a situation that's just made perfect. I step right into it every time, blow it every time. And I think to myself, my, you're simple. You need the light.
Yeah, it's always.
John was sent to proclaim the coming of Jesus, the Savior, the sacrificial Lamb of God. And the preparation was and always will be in each one of us the revelation of sin. And without that, if we don't have that revelation, nothing changes. And you can live a whole life. There are people who do, they live a whole life never coming to conscious awareness of their sinfulness. And there's a lot of good people out there who've learned the moves and can motivate themselves through everything and do well. But their end will not be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, which is our only goal. It does not matter what we accomplish here. The only thing that matters is the goal. And the goal is, where are we going to be for eternity? And I want to be with the Lord Jesus with all my heart.
Amen,
amen. Amen. So, we've now focused on the fact that we're all on the same path and we're all going towards the same goal. So, awareness of sin. Sin is the barrier, the obstacle which hinders the revelation of Jesus. John came first to make straight the way of the Lord, and that's in Isaiah 40, verse 3. John proclaimed that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of all sacrifices that would take away the sin of the world. You know, I don't know, I'm a movie person. The movies about Jesus is the thing. But where Jesus comes walking past John and it says, you know, he came walking by and John said to his disciples, this is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God. John had been given that revelation of the dove coming down and staying on the Lord Jesus. And he had been told that this was the Son of God. And he told his disciples, Andrew and John were the two standing there at the moment, and listened and immediately followed. There was no hesitation at all. Immediately followed the Lord Jesus. And it's in John 1, 28 to 34. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. powerful, powerful words. Every single one of you in this room has a testimony. Every single one of you, I would guarantee, if sometimes it takes probing, has a story where you know that the Lord Jesus touched your heart. The Holy Spirit moved within you to do thus and so. Every single one of us have that testimony. And our lives have to go on from there. And that testimony has to be made alive and brought to life for those who yet need to believe. This is why we're here. This is why we're here. And so this awareness of sin is part of that. Much of the beginning of that for us all was over the very issue of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of the things of which we feel very guilty. And then we seek someone to whom we can confess the sin and receive forgiveness. And then the sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus, and we are clean and we are redeemed. And it's a moment by moment thing. It's not just once in your life and then you go on home free. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
When we confess our sins, should we confess to someone else?
You can confess your sins to the Lord. You can confess your sins to one another. I think the only indicator is when you feel in your heart that you are free of that sin. Because sin has tentacles. And often it has rooted down many, many times. You need to talk to somebody to get to the foundation of that sin. You know, Sister Danielle is good with me. She always say, when did this start? When did it start? Was it this morning? Was it last night? You know. All you have to do is focus on it, and the Lord will bring you right down to where that started, where it started. You must bring the sin to its root. You must bring the sin to its foundation, because otherwise it's just a Band-Aid. And sometimes sins can be. You just speak it out. The Lord hears you. He understands your contrition. He forgives you, and you are washed clean. Many other things sometimes take repeated confession even. You know, this is in Mother Vasilia's, I found the key to the heart of God. There were issues that she realized needed a deeper repentance, and then more fruitful things happened in the sisterhood. And so it's a daily thing, really, to keep your slate clean. But what this starts, this process starts, the same process the disciples went through when they came running, John and Andrew came running behind the Lord Jesus. Rabbi, where do you live? What did the Lord Jesus say? Come and see. Come and see. Okay, this takes a longing on the part of the disciples to actually follow. Others didn't follow that he said that to. Others did. When he said, follow me, they automatically followed because it was something hooked their heart in that word, follow me. And that was started by their own desire to be closer to the truth, to be closer to the light. It involves intimacy and time. But this too begins the awakening of awareness of sin in our lives, the barriers, anything that hinders us. You know, because if you're in the presence, I always think of the woman at the well, if you're in the presence of the Lord, his spotlight is right on you. And you have to be ready to understand that he's just peeling away all the things because he wants you to be clean. Consider, sin brings darkness, disobedience in every form, every fashion brings darkness, and hindering the truth brings darkness. Hindering the truth in these days, in our culture, is called compromise. Oh, it's okay. It's okay what they do. I wouldn't do it, but it's okay what they do. They should be allowed to do what they want to do with their lives. This is hindering the sin. It keeps them in darkness and at arm's reach to forgiveness. And it will increase the darkness in your own life. You have to come to grips with what's true, is true for you in every aspect of your life. And you have to come to grips with confronting what isn't true and what people are trying to tell you should be true.
That's right.
But we can change that. It's old fashioned. We can change that. We can never change the truth. Not ever. And so read your word, ask the Lord to show you what the truth is, and then live it. And then darkness will be dispelled. Now this brings us to this boat and these waves and our message. Take courage, it is I, said the Lord. It dawned on me when I was in John over and over again, and we had this verse. It was dark. You know, Jesus is coming across. She said, he sent them ahead. The Lord Jesus went up into the hills to pray, and they were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It was a storm. It was dark. And the Bible says it was dark. Now, when the Bible says it was dark, I believe it was like being down. Have you ever taken a tour of a cave, and they show you what it's like to turn off all the lights? It's dark. It's real dark. And there were no boat lights. You know, this is the middle of a storm. Even if they had a candle, it's gone. A lantern, everything that would have created light is gone. It's all dark clouds. It's dark. It is physically impossible for the disciples to have seen anything on the water. They would not have even been able to see anything in the boat. They probably couldn't even see each other. They could hear the cries and were afraid, you know. They could hear, they could feel the tension of the fear. The wind is blowing. We were out in that car the other night, or the other afternoon, and the wind whipping around. I tell you, I sat there feeling a little uneasy, you know. And put yourself in a boat. So it was dark, but then the word says that they saw the Lord Jesus. Now the only way they could see the Lord Jesus was why? I've told you 25 times already. He is the light. He stood as a pillar of light right there on the surface of the water. Now, I believe, and you can believe this too if you want to, but this is what I believe. They saw the pillar of light. They thought it was a ghost, right? They saw no features that they recognized as the Lord Jesus. It was when he spoke. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And why? Because he has said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So they saw the light, they heard his voice, and then they welcomed him into the boat. Then, and this is the part that just blows me away, and then they were immediately at their goal. Is this not the whole solution, the whole answer, when we are in the presence of Jesus? When we are committed to follow him, we are at the goal. Maybe it's just the goal for that day. Maybe it's just the goal for that hour. Doesn't say there aren't going to be a few more rough places in the road, a few more waves. But at that moment, we are at the goal if we are in his presence, in his light, hearing his voice. This is everything. This is everything. And it is worth house cleaning, tearing up everything that you think in your life are priorities or whatever. Tear them down. Tear them down yourself. Every wall that you have built up. What did we hear the other day? The person who says they don't hear from the Lord. They don't want to hear from the Lord.
Right.
It's as simple as that. If somebody says to you, and I've said it myself, I don't hear from the Lord. Okay, find out why. ask the Lord, what's the barrier? What's the hindrance? Why am I not hearing your voice? Because he's always right there, tapping on your heart. And so these things, much of this, it rests on us to understand that many of the things are self-created, self-perpetuated, and we need to take them down. And so our battle of faith takes us right there. How many of you are familiar with the battle of faith? How many of you, dear precious saints, brought your banner? How many of you are new? Because the new ones are going to be bailed out of this situation. You are here. Perfect. Make sure the new ones get the banners. Hallelujah. Because these banners are a proclamation of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the leader was before the armies, they always had banners, big flowing banners. As long as you could see the banner, you knew the leader was still in charge, still in control. And you would still fight. But if you no longer saw the banner, your leader had fallen, and most of the time the Bible says they all fled. Well, we never have to retreat. We never have to retreat. You know, this should make us just all sing the Hallelujah chorus right from the get-go. So, we're going to sing, and I'll tell you, the songs are all of the songs that we sing. If you have an inkling for a book that you need, I can tell you right away. Building a Wall of Prayer.
But it looks a little different.
It has a different cover, but it's the same words. Building a Wall of Prayer. Strong in the time of testing. Strong in the time of testing. Songs for Spiritual Warfare, the song booklet, and the CD. Go home with these. If we run out, just put your name back there. Anything you don't see on the book table, put your name on a piece of paper back there by the mailing list slip, and I promise you we'll send it out. What day did we get home?
Sunday.
I'll send it out Monday. Hallelujah. Because we need to be, now, all the battle of faith does, there's no magic in this. It's all reality. Jesus is the victor. The power of the name of Jesus is victorious over all things in the whole universe. The power of the blood of Jesus is the strongest power of all. Love for the Lord Jesus is the strongest power of all. You go forward in the name of Jesus, in the power of his blood, because you love him and want to love him more. I can only tell you, you are invincible. You are invincible. And it doesn't mean you're not going to fall and stumble and do the wrong thing in the next 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. You pick up your banner, you sing the verse again, and you say, Lord, I'm on my way to the goal. Praise God. So now we're going to sing, and Peggy's going to put the words on the board. Peggy, bless her heart, because I forgot the song sheets. I mean, this is really tragic. But because we have PowerPoint, Sister Domitilla said, why don't you type them into the PowerPoint? And so we did. And so you'll be able to sing all these wonderful songs because of modern technology. Oh, one thing I don't want to forget before you go. Everybody has on their chair, we're running out of time because I talk too much, but you have on your chair this word. When you get in a tight spot, I can tell you this word is key. Say yes to the will of God. say yes to the will of the Father, and all suffering will lose its power. The thing that makes you want to say no in almost every situation is fear of suffering. If you say yes to the will of God, He will make a way through the suffering, no matter what it is. And if you need help with that, inside is the song, and you can read it because we're going to sing it because of the melody, but you can read it, Spirit of Truth. Spirit of Truth, bring your light. Show me where my no is. Show me where the fear is too powerful in my life so that I can battle it. Okay? Now, the first one we're going to sing is Against All. Against All. We're going to put in there fear. How many of us suffer from fear? Fear of the unknown, fear of becoming sick, fear of becoming old, fear of becoming poor, disabled, whatever. Fear for our country. So, we're going to battle fear. Stand up. You can march if you want to.
We can wave this banner.
Now, what brings us our fears is that we don't trust the Father knows our heart. He doesn't know our situation. He doesn't know why I should be so fearful. So, against all unbelief, lack of trust, whatever you want to put in there, whatever covers that category for you, okay? Proclaim the name of Jesus proclaim the power of Jesus over every member of your family. And the best place to start there is with yourself.
Yes.
You always start first of all right here. And you pray for me too if you want. Pray for all the sin sicknesses in your own heart that they will be gone. Then Jesus gives us the power to be a mighty intercessor where we can reach out and pray out over other things. Now, do we have time for more songs? Or we need to quit for the break?
No, we'll do another song.
Okay, we're going to do another song.
I don't want to get too sad.
Pick your favorite one, Peggy.
Jesus Built a Wall.
Okay, good. This is number 3 on your song sheet, people.
This is good.